Great stuff, Trent. Yes, some terrific golf coming up. What I'd give to be at the Australian Open next week. That would be good fun. Now, we need to keep moving here. We've got some special guests on site at Moona Links. Michael Jamieson and Kane Lucas are two gentlemen that spent a fair bit of time in the Navy Blue. Kane, a couple of times, well, spent a bit of time at West Coast anyway, over there at the Eagles. But they've joined us here as part of the proceedings this morning. Good morning, boys.
Morning.
Thanks morning.
For having us.
Now, it's all about transition today and dealing with that. Jamo, for you first up, you were part of the MRP this year.
Was it
a great career decision?
You have to ask me in a month after Steve Hawking sort of rejigs it, I guess. But for me, it was a great way to stay involved in footy and not give the weekends up, which is what I was looking forward to post-playing career. So I really enjoyed it. And you're never going to please everyone on the MRP, so I just took it for what it was and had a good time.
What was Jimmy like to work with?
Well,
was he just a troublemaker and caused all the problems and was
he left
to
when
leave?
It got hard, did he?
Well, he did. Jimmy was the sort of the antagonist with all the controversial decisions and then snuck out the back door halfway through and left us to deal with it all. So, and hasn't been seen since. So I've got a word to say to Jimmy when I see him next, I think.
Have you found it easy transitioning from a player to a non-player?
I was ready to finish when my career came to end, so I was one of the lucky ones that, I guess, called it on my time, but it still wasn't easy. It's I don't think you can go from two different careers that would be so opposite, you know, from football to anything, really. But I was lucky enough that my player sponsor for the last 5 years of my career was my boss, is now my boss. So and I'd done a little bit of work with him throughout, you know, my last 5 years at playing football. So, and he just said to me, when you finish playing, knock on the door and I've got a job waiting for you. So that made it easier, but there's still certainly a lot of challenges that come with it.
So we'll throw you in, Kane. How important are those networks around football clubs, coterie groups, people that you can speak to? Because there, a lot of those guys that are in coterie groups, you know, all got successful businesses potentially. How important is it for players to take time to speak to them and get to know them and use them for advice?
Yeah, it's really important. And it's especially the younger guys need to realise that. The networking you do at those sort of events can really open up doors and just being proactive and accessing these guys and having them kind of in the background for when things are going to, when you're going to get towards your transition is really important. So especially a big club like Carlton, we had lots of big influences and people with amazing businesses. So it's a really important part to keep open in your football career.
We've asked all the guys about this throughout their career. How difficult was it to combine study, to combine preparation for training, even to combine job placement? How difficult was it to do that?
Yeah, well, for me, probably being on the fringe for the last couple of years of my career, it's really hard. You're probably getting some external pressures from the club to try push into the team. So you're trying to put even more resources into getting your footy right. And then you're also aware that, you know, your contract might be up at the end of the year or you might have a 2 years to go. So you're trying to get that perfect balance where, you know, you're getting off-field happiness and that's related to your on-field performance. So it's a real balancing act for some guys.
I guess I was lucky. I had to completed a year of university before I got drafted because I got drafted a little bit older. So that made me realise, as Kay just mentioned, the importance of doing something outside of football. But for a young kid who's trying to break into the team and make a career, it's hard to realise that you need to have that balance because you're trying to put everything into footy. So until you actually take the leap, do something else and realise that you've always played better footy when you're doing something outside of football.
So you're a firm believer in that? You always, even not just you but other guys, play their better football when they're doing something else?
Oh, I certainly believe it, and it's also a reason I think the draft age should go up. Because I wouldn't change a thing of the way I came into football, having a year at uni, realising there's a lot more outside in the world than just football clubs. Because, you know, these 18-year-old kids, they go in and they think that's all that exists and then it's going to last forever. And it's a really rude shock once it comes to an end. But if you've got that little bit of life experience beforehand, it puts things into perspective and you realise that you do need to prepare yourself for life after football.
So we're keen to put you two together because obviously both former Carlton teammates, but both very different stories. Jamo, you had a very settled career. You're in the leadership group, key defender, would play every week. different for you, Kane, but I'm not sure how to say this without sort of embarrassing you, but it's a difficult question to ask. You're a top 10 pick. You know, I think we all thought that you were going to play 10, 12 years in the game, and it didn't quite work out. How difficult is that for you to now look back on that now? And has that made it even harder to transition into post-football?
Yeah, just touching on what Gemmo said, I probably followed the traditional pathway through my juniors and was quite lucky to be a high achiever in that area. And then, unfortunately, that probably didn't give me enough exposure to adversity and resilience when I hit AFL. Early on, I had some injuries, and then all of a sudden, you're not achieving what you set out to achieve, and it's quite hard to grasp in the time. It was a real journey for me. I had a lot of highs and lows. And, of course, upon reflection, there's a lot of things I changed. But, it's just about now reflecting on the journey, what you got out of it, the positives. That's what I'm at the point in my life at the moment, just reflecting on that and trying to be better for it. So,
I mean, we all wanted to be AFL footballers growing up in the backyard. So in your situation, were you very much, say, as a 15, 16-year-old, I'm just going to be an AFL footballer, I'll worry about the rest when I'm 35. Were you one of those guys, or were you one of the ones that was already thinking about life after football before it started?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was one of those ones. So just very naive, very single-focused. Football was always my dream. And that's what Gemmo mentioned just before, having that life experience and getting out of the bubble after school might be good for the if they lift the draft age. I was always in that football bubble, and it was always going to be for me. So now transitioning out, it's a part of you's lost a little bit. You lose a bit of your identity in trying to and build around that. So like I said, there's probably a few things I would have done differently. I would have done some more work experience and been a lot more proactive in my life outside of football. These are things you learn along the way, and I was only young, so.
See, this is we were talking about this, Kane, earlier this morning with Rama as a player manager, and Rama, you mentioned about how you've got a situation where it's much easier for the guys that are 31, 32 that it's sort of naturally coming to an end, but you're managing guys like Kane, 23, 24, when it all of a sudden realise it's not going the way that we all thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
How difficult is that as a manager to have those tough conversations with those players?
Oh, absolutely, because the difficulty is with that is their focus is completely still on their football career and wanting to make that. They're not really thinking about what else happens if it all ends tomorrow. And I do get that, because you just want that opportunity as a footballer to last forever. But that's the importance of not starting the journey for life after football late in your career. You've got to start it straight away, as soon as you walk in the door, because if you're drafted, you get a 2-year contract straight away. So you've got to start some form of education, work placement. What I want to ask Jamo, do you think footballers now, we're here doing an outduction for guys that have finished up in the game, do you think footballers fully understand what they can actually offer to a potential employer?
No, I don't. When I went into work at the start of this year, I severely underrated and underestimated the skills that do transition into the real world. I had doubts that I've done nothing in this property investment sort of field before, but my boss said, just took me through all the skills that you have in football clubs that either you naturally learn or they teach you around leadership and teamwork and the ability to go to corporate functions and speak to sponsors and therefore network and be personable with, high corporates. You don't realise it until you have to go and do it. But there are so many skills these days that kids pick up in football clubs that do transfer into the real world. So I certainly underestimated it. And that's the great thing about this camp is those kids, you can see, their eyes light up when they realise they do have all these skills, and they don't have that much to learn to go into a career post football. So it's been a great experience for these young kids, especially.
Well, hopefully you get a fair bit out of yesterday and today. There's plenty more to come for you boys as part of the outduction program. But it's been great to have a chat to you today and find out a bit more about your stories and your stance on this stage of your life, because they're very different for the two of you. We appreciate your time and good luck.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you,
Michael Jamieson, Kane Lucas, with us on the Breakfast Club.